and for real connection with other people. In fact, just a couple of chapters into the Bible, we begin to see this truth. We were created this way. In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says that God created the heavens and He said it was what? And when He created the earth, He said it was what? And He created the land and the animals, He said it was what? Good. And then when He created man, He said it was very good. And there's only one time in the Bible where God said that it was not good, that it was not right. He said it is not good for man to be what? For man to be alone. You see, we are created, we are hardwired by God to connect with other people. It's an innate need for all of us to know and to be known in a deep way. We were never meant to live out our Christianity alone or in isolation. Now, why did God create us that way? I think there's a couple of reasons why God made us that way. He made us that way, first of all, because that's what the Trinity is. That's what God is. You know, in the book of Genesis, it says, "Let us create man in our image." Have you ever wondered who us and our are in Genesis there? You understand that that's the Trinity in all the way back in creation. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we are created, the Bible says, in that image of community. And so we are supposed to reflect the image of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in their oneness and in their mission together. So we were created into that kind of community. And that's what God wants for us. Now, not only did He make us for community because that's what He is, but also He made us for community because of our enemy. You know, Satan wants to take us out, doesn't he? He knows that Jesus is raising up a group of people that are going to kick his gates down one day. And one of the main goals, his main goals in your life, is to hinder you and to keep you from living out God's plan for you in this life. He's going to try to discourage us to the point where we shrink away from God's plan and God's goal in our lives. And the Bible says over and over again that what keeps us from getting taken out by our enemy is community. It's relationship with one another in the body of Christ. I want you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 12 and 13, and we'll put it on the screen for you. We have been created for community, for relationship. And it is one of the ways that God allows us to keep from being taken out by our enemy. Hebrews 3, 12 and 13. It says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it's called today, lest any of you should be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Do you see there in that passage, it says that encouragement, that community, that relationship, that encouragement has to be in our lives to not cave in, it says here, to the deceitfulness of sin. Did you know that the word encouragement comes from the Greek word parakaleo, and it doesn't just mean to be nice to someone. If I said to you, "I want to encourage you about something," and then I paid you a compliment, or I encouraged you to keep going or whatever, that would be one thing. But the idea here, the word actually means to come alongside of someone. We come alongside of each other every day to encourage one another. The Bible says until Jesus comes back, that's our command. Now, I don't know about you, but there have been a few times in my life when I've needed someone to come alongside of me so that I didn't quit. Have you ever had a time in your life when you needed someone to come alongside of you and to encourage you and to live life with you so that you did not quit, maybe in your faith? Now, we have some challenges in fostering that kind of relationship and community in our lives today. Well, first of all, our society, our culture is a challenge. Because we live in a society today that is increasingly disconnected. I think consumerism does it. We value our things and our stuff more than we value people and relationships today. And so what we do is we stay in front of our 60-inch TV. or plugged into our video games, or we just keep surrounding ourselves with things that we can buy instead of spending time on what? On relationships. Instead of spending time on one another. I think consumerism is a part of it. I think individualism is a part of it. We love our rights and privileges more than we love the rights and privileges of other people. And so we develop an it's all about me attitude. And the result of that is, instead of reaching out to others, we stay to ourselves. It's all about me. It's all about my rights. It's all about what I have. And we fill our time with things that we can buy to the place where we ignore our relationships with other people. George Barna said this. He said, 7 of 10 Americans don't even know their neighbors. I would say that's probably true. He also said that 1/3 of all Americans admit that they struggle with frequent periods of loneliness. We live in a world today where we are surrounded by people. We're connected by every social media outlet possible, and yet in the middle of that, so many are still lonely. So our culture is creating a huge challenge in creating the kind of biblical community that we see in the book of Acts and in the New Testament. But not only that, frankly, our growth as a church is a challenge to that. You know, the bigger a church gets, the bigger a class gets, the harder it is for deep relationships and community to happen, despite what Johnny and Chachi might think, right? It's more difficult. It's harder for that to happen. People are less likely to share, less likely to have chances to get to know each other, and more likely to slip through the cracks and not be noticed. And so what do we do in our classes today is we try to battle that in a lot of different ways, don't we? We try to have more social gatherings. We try to have open discussion about the Bible and invite people to share. We organize so that people don't get left out. And sometimes we even change what we call our groups. We call them life groups or we call them community groups, thinking that by calling them something else, we'll create the community or the life together that we deeply desire. But I think it seems like, despite all of those efforts, that we don't really see the kind of community that we're shooting for. That we really don't see the depth of relationship that we see in the book of Acts. And I want you to turn to Acts chapter 2. Just turn back a few books to Acts chapter 2. And I want us to see this community described. And I'm going to read to you Acts 2, 42 through 47. Because in that passage, we probably have the best description of true community, the community of that early church. And I want you to listen closely at the way that they lived with each other. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They're learning together. They're growing together. And in fellowship, it says. They're sharing a koinonia, a deep relationship with one another. That's the word that's used there. In the breaking of bread, they're taking the Lord's Supper together. And in prayers, they are praying together. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. They're watching God work and do His mission together. Now all who believed were together. They spent time together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. They supported one another. They gave to one another. They were there in the midst of difficulty for one another. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate together. It says they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God. They worshiped together. And having favor with all the people, and God added to the church daily those that were being saved. Is it any wonder God added to the church daily when they were living out that kind of community? Can you see the reason why that would be a goal that we have? I can totally understand. Who wouldn't want this? This is like a utopia, a perfect situation. And I would ask today, is this like the community that we experience today in our Sunday school classes? In our small groups today? This is the kind of thing that we would want to multiply. And perhaps in most cases, unfortunately, we're not seeing this kind of community. The Bible commands community. It's an innate desire for all of us, so why don't we see it more? Why do people feel disconnected from their church or from their class? Why don't they feel close to the people in their group? I wish I could tell you how many times in my ministry that I've had someone that was involved in a small group or in a Sunday school class come to me and say, "Brother Steve, I like my teacher, I enjoy going to class, but I just don't feel like I have a connection with the people there. I just feel like I don't really have any friends. I don't really have any depth of relationship with the people that I'm around." Maybe we don't see this type of thing multiplied more because we're not accomplishing the other goal that we've set for our small groups, and that is that our groups need to be on mission. They need to be missional groups. Now, let me explain, because I think the reason we don't see this kind of community is because we have the wrong starting point. Now, I'm going to explain that. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. Turn over to Matthew chapter 4. And there's a statement that Jesus makes here that will help us understand, I believe, why sometimes we don't see the depth of community that we desire. Matthew 4, verse 19. It's just a simple statement by Jesus. "Then he said to them," he's calling out some of his disciples here, these fishermen. He says, "Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" What is Jesus' starting point here for his followers? He looks at them and he says, "Follow me." Now, when they came to Jesus, they were not simply coming to him to hear him teach once a week, were they? He says, "Follow me." What were they going to do? They were going to live with him for almost 3 years. They were going to be with him. They were going to follow him. They were going to be close to him, trust him. And so the first thing that he does is he calls them to himself as his disciples, as his followers. And then what's the very next thing that he says to them? "I will make you" what? "I will make you fishers of men." So he says, if you follow me, I'm going to take you on this journey of my mission to redeem the world. I'm going to make you fishers of men. He doesn't say, if you follow me, I'm going to give you a bunch of new friends to hang out with, does he? He doesn't say here, if you follow me, I'm going to give you a bunch of people to sit around with and study and eat with. That's not what he says. He says, if you follow me, I'm going to make you what? Fishers of men. Now let me say this. That was always Jesus' starting point. Follow me, and I've got a mission for you. Get close to me, and I've got a mission for you. We see it over and over again in Scripture. John chapter 20 and verse 21, Jesus said this to his followers, "As the Father has sent me, I also send you." That word "send" is the word that we get our word "mission" from. And what it means is that when you're at your job or when you're at school or that when you're in your neighborhood, that you are not there by accident, that God has sent you there and he's given you a mission. So what does he always do? He calls us to himself and then he calls us to pursue his mission. Matthew 28, 19, the Great Commission. Again, we're going to put that on the screen for you. "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." You remember the picture of Jesus calling his disciples together, gathering them around him like a general would gather his troops. And he says to them, "I want you men to see this before I go back to heaven. I'm leaving you here to do something." And he says, here's what you're to do. "As you are going, I want you to make followers of all the nations." That's the mission. And here's a beautiful picture of what I'm trying to talk about. Just picture that day. Jesus calls those men around. He calls them to himself and he says, "I've got a mission for you that I want you to do. Go and make disciples of all the nations." What does he do? He calls them to himself and he calls them to pursue his mission every single time. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my" what? "My witnesses." Again, he calls them to himself. He says, look, when the Holy Spirit comes, when you draw near to me, when you begin to abide in me, you're going to receive power, and that power is given to you so that you can be my witnesses. He calls them to himself and then to pursue his mission. And the point I'm trying to make is that is always Jesus' starting point. So what's the connection to community? And what's the connection to your small group, to your Sunday school class? Well, here's what I think it is. We're always aiming for Acts chapter 2 community, right? That's what we want. We want that kind of devotion to one another. We want that kind of worshiping together, sharing, supporting, encouraging each other. So we aim for Acts 2 community, but I believe that we do it without Acts 1 mission. I believe that we do it without Matthew 28, without John 20 mission. And so because of that, we seem to never achieve it. Well, here's the deal. All of this community in Acts chapter 2 that we read about was a direct result of these people pursuing Jesus and pursuing His mission. Now, I want you to listen close, and I'm going to try to explain this because I'm seeing a lot of blank looks on your faces. All right? If you aim for community, and that's the whole goal, if you aim for Acts chapter 2 and that experience that we were talking about, if that's the goal, you will never get community or mission. But if you aim to pursue Jesus and you aim for His mission, you will get both mission and community. Now, here, let me give you an example, all right? We take a lot of mission trips here at Gateway. And sometimes on those mission trips, we bring people together that don't know each other well to go on a mission trip. And in fact, they might even be basically strangers when they come together to go on that mission trip. And we tell people when they go on a mission trip that they really only have two goals. We want them to pursue Christ, right? And we want them to pursue Jesus' mission in that place. That's the only two things. We don't say anything about, we hope you guys come back and know each other really well, right? We say, go, pursue Jesus' mission in this place where we're sending you. So when we send strangers away to do these things, but guess what pops up when they go on mission trips together? We never say anything about community when we send people on a mission trip, but guess what always happens when they go on a mission trip? Community begins to happen. I've been on a mission trip with Frank Anderson. I've known Frank for a long time, but I really know Frank because I've been on a mission trip with him. And you know what? It's so deep, I think, with Frank that I would go to war with that guy because we've been on mission together. We sent a group to Costa Rica several years ago, and they had about a month to prepare for a mission trip and get their tickets and passports and all that, and they did all that together, and they went on mission together. People who maybe were not even that close, but you know what? They still talk about that trip. And they still talk about their relationships with one another. Why is that? Because they were absolutely on mission with one another. We just had four students that are connected with our church that went to Columbia together. And I bet you when they come back that there is some community that they never thought would happen. Why? Because they were on mission together. And I would say this to you. If you put those same people that go on mission trips in a living room and tell them to watch movies together for a year, there's going to be a totally different kind of community that comes about. I would even submit to you that you could put those people in a living room for a year studying the Bible once a week, and you will not get the same supernatural community that you get when you put them on mission together. See, there's no comparison when people are pursuing the mission of Jesus together. Told the group last night, it reminds me of, and I never served in the military, and some of you did, but I can only imagine that when you go to war with someone, when you are fighting for one another, when you're fighting for a cause together, when you're fighting to see something accomplished, I can just imagine that bond, that the community that's built there, that those relationships don't ever go away, that they're there forever, that they're there for life. And you know, when we come together and we are fighting for the cause of Christ, when we are together on mission doing what He has called us out to do, it's then and only then that real community begins to happen. Let me give you an example again Just imagine that you're in a small group that gets a vision about being a part of Jesus' mission. And that small group decides to do something to help those in need or to do something to spread the gospel, and that vision gets bigger and bigger. And that group begins to ask questions about how they can make the gospel known and demonstrate it in all kinds of different settings. And that group goes to war together to be sure that the gospel is seen and heard. And I'm saying to you that when a group does that, that is when Acts 2 community begins to happen, and that there's no other way it's going to happen. Pretty soon you won't be able to separate those people because they have seen Jesus work in them and through them in ways that they could never believe, and they are bound together supernaturally by that. Now, if we're honest today, there's some folks that would say, Brother Steve, I like my Sunday school class. I like my small group. I like all the activities that we do together. But when I look at Acts chapter 2, I just don't see that kind of thing. I just don't see that in my life. I don't see those kind of relationships. And there are some people here today that would say, if they're really honest, that you're that one in three people that battles desperately with loneliness. And here's what I would say to you today. Your best shot at finding Acts 2 community is to get on mission with the people of God. To get on mission with the people of God and see what God does with those relationships. And so we've been talking about life together and how does this look for our body? How does this look for our church as we live out this Christian life together? We have two goals that we've laid out dealing with our small groups. Last night, because we had a small group, I asked our group when the service was over, I said, how many of you in your small group or in your Sunday school class, in years past, presently and in years past, how many of you have been in a class that experienced this type of community? And I had them describe that to me. And you know what so many of them said was, you know what, I've been in a class before, but I've never experienced that kind of closeness. I've never experienced that kind of community. And so what do we do as a church body, all right? How do we address this? And many of you would say the same thing. Well, the first thing we want is for all of our small groups to be missional small groups. Well, what does that mean? That means that it's the goal of every one of our Sunday school classes, every one of our small groups, to be on mission together. That they would let God put things on their hearts to share and to spread the gospel through their kindness, through their ministry, to the world around them, and that as they do that together, that deep community would begin to develop. So today, if your group is not on mission together, you be the one that goes back to your group and you lead that group to be on mission together. All of our groups need to be missional. The second goal was that we would multiply our groups. Now specifically, we want to multiply our life groups. Our life groups are the groups that don't meet on Sunday morning. And the reason that's important for us is because of our facility. So we want to multiply our offsite groups, but we really want to multiply all of our groups. If they are healthy, if they're missional, if they're growing, we want that to multiply. When you read Acts chapter 2, you say, everybody needs to have that, right? And so we want to multiply those groups. And so if those are our goals, then what are our takeaways today? What do we learn from this? The first thing I would say is that we need to lean into relationships and stop isolating ourselves. There's somebody here today that would say, Brother Steve, the reality is that I'm tired of feeling alone with all these people around me. And so often what we do, instead of leaning into relationships, we isolate ourselves. And there might be someone that would say, I need encouragement, I need accountability in my faith. And maybe your decision today will be that you need to find a small group to be a part of, where you can begin to have those relationships and be on mission together. And so your decision today is, next week or today for you guys, I'm finding a group to be a part of. Because I don't want Satan to be able to take me out. All right? Second takeaway might be that we would say this. I want my life to be a life that's lived on mission for Jesus. I want to be a missionary 24/7, 365. And your decision today, if that's you, might be to lead out in bringing mission to your small group. You might say, I want to commit myself this year to go on a mission trip. I want to get outside my comfort zone. And I want to be involved in mission outside of what I normally do. And you'll have opportunities this year as the year goes along to be involved in a mission trip. And so today, I don't know what your decision might be, but I pray and I believe it has to do with being on mission with Jesus. And I would say to you that that is how real community develops. All my ministry, we have emphasized, and I've watched churches emphasize community and talk about, well, we need to be closer. We need to do things in our classes. We need to know each other in a deeper way. We need to be accountable to one another. And I've watched churches emphasize that and try that and make efforts to do that in their classes and in their groups. And I have watched churches and groups fail again and again and again. And I'm telling you, after 20 some odd years in ministry, I am firmly convinced that the reason we fail is because we have the wrong starting point. The starting point is mission. The starting point is Jesus' mission. When you get on Jesus' mission with a group of other people, you watch what happens to the community in your group. You'll begin to see Acts chapter 2 community. That's the answer. Me preaching about community is not the answer. The answer is our groups being on mission together for Jesus. Amen? All right, so let's go do that. Let's pray together.